We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
Smoothie King's new lemonade lineup is here.
Lemonade, lemonade, the Smoothie King way.
Try a strawberry guava lemonade SK refresher.
Yum, yum, gotta get some.
Made with real fruit, real juice, and real energy.
Who's thirsty?
Okay, guys, I got a really great episode for you today. I'm talking to an awesome author who's a New York Times bestselling author. I just read his latest book. I have to say he's one of the most funniest people I've seen on Twitter by far. He's like one of the most, I look up to him as a writer in my opinion. And I think you'll see his hear his personality, in this episode. Welcome, Luke Murphy, to the Healthy Living with Gracie Fitness Guys podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Jimmy, and thanks for that introduction. Unfortunately, my wife doesn't think I'm that funny, maybe because I'm using her as the blunt of most of my jokes on Twitter, but thanks for that introduction. I'm really happy to be here with you.
I have to say, I was not expecting that ending to your latest book. I'm not going to say any spoilers, but oh my goodness.
I've gotten quite a bit of feedback. I believe you're talking about Rockabye Baby, which is the book I published last year, and it's book two in the Charlene Taylor series. It's, you know... That book I just kind of wrote. I didn't really plan it out. It just kind of went with the flow. And, you know, the ending was interesting. I had a couple of different endings, but my editors and I agreed on that ending, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback, which is nice.
At least you can share me. Are you going to make another book?
Yes, I'm definitely going to write more Charlene Taylor novels. The book that's coming out this summer actually has a combination of my two protagonists from my two series, Calvin Waters and Charlene Taylor. They're actually going to be in the same book working together. So it's going to be interesting. It should be out in July, and I'm actually looking forward to hearing the feedback from that.
I actually read a book that basically did the same thing. It was James Patterson did the same thing with, like, he created a new kind of novel for, not a novel, but another book with a younger detective working with Alex Cross. But I really liked the ending. It was, I was not expecting that kind of ending.
Well, thank you very much. I think as an author, you kind of want to be able to throw readers off a bit and hope to give them a little bit of surprise, a little bit of shock. And that comes with the whole emotions with reading a book and getting inside the characters and following them and cheering for them. And so you hope to invoke some emotions like that from readers, for sure. And James Patterson, I love his books too. They're quick and they're fun, and they're always entertaining.
I think I read your book in like literally 3 days. Maybe four.
That's always a good sign for an author.
Except for this one book that I like this one.
There are so many ads these days wherever you go. There are ads in movie theaters, on TV, on radio, and on billboards. So why would you want to listen to ads in a podcast? Subscribe to the Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast to get these exclusive benefits. Listen ad-free. Behind-the-scenes access, access to our free Facebook community, and so much more. Become a premium member for only $5 per month. To learn more about the Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast, go to crazyfitnessguy.com/healthylivingpodcast or click on the Premium Podcast link in the show notes. Now let's get back to the show.
One book that I'm reading called, have you ever met, his name is Anthony Horowitz. He writes Alex Rider books. And
I've heard of them, but I've never read any of them.
Oh, well, I'm reading his current book right now, and I like it so far. But I was meaning to read a lot this weekend, but I've been busy working my butt off, unfortunately.
Yeah, sometimes, unfortunately, life gets in the way when we want to be reading a book, but there's other priorities to take care of first, and definitely so work is one of them.
I'm just curious, how did you become a writer anyway?
Well, you know, I've always been a reader, and I think that's kind of where it started out. My mother was a librarian, and I spent a lot of days in the library after school, and I always liked reading mystery novels. The Hardy Boys were my first books, and so I always was an avid reader. Never really thought much about writing when I was a kid, and then when I got hurt in hockey and I had all this free time, my wife, she was my girlfriend at the time, and she was in college, and she asked if I would help her with an assignment, which was to write a short story. And so we kind of, you know, got together and created these characters and a setting and a plot and everything. And I just enjoyed it so much that I took one of the characters we created together. And, you know, I started to write a new story with it. And, you know, next thing I knew, I had a complete manuscript, which I didn't do anything with. I wrote two manuscripts before I even decided to get serious and write with the intention of being published. Cause when I first started out, I knew I wasn't ready. I was a diamond in the rough, I guess you could call it. It was pretty rough, my work. So, you know, you had, it's years of practicing and researching and before you even think about writing with the idea of being published.
That sounds interesting because I know that feeling. When I started a Crazy Fitness Guy, I didn't think I was going to get any readers, but after, I think I'm in my third year now, and I've picked up like 700, you know, visitors and readers in a month.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You don't, you know, especially with social media now, and you can get readers from all over the world, and you can interact with them, and it's so much fun meeting new people. And like yourself, I mean, you just start writing, and you never know where it's going to go. It's fun to kind of sit back and, you know, think about, oh, remember when I started a few years ago and how far I've come. And it's pretty amazing if you watch the progression. I'm sure if you think of your own writing from day one to now, and it's been a pretty incredible hill you've climbed, I bet.
You don't even know how steep that hill is. That's I think it's probably, what I was have to say, a very, very, very big mountain, a very steep mountain.
Oh, well, I bet. And that's the thing. Everyone's mountain is different, right? It's, some are steeper than others, some are longer than others, it's, some are bumpier than others. It's, you know, we do what we can with what we have. And you know what? You have all obviously succeeded, so a lot of credit to you. And, you know, we keep climbing that hill until there's no hill left, and you just keep reaching. Thanks. For the stars.
I was just wondering, what inspired the Charlene Taylor's series anyway?
Probably the inspiration for Charlene Taylor was when I first started thinking about Charlene, I was reading a lot of James Patterson's women detective series. The Women's Murder Club books had just come out, and they were really growing, and it seemed that female detective protagonists were, you know, really popular at that time. And for me, my whole life, I've just been surrounded with by women. I mean, I've had two sisters growing up, and I have three daughters, and, you know, going to all the sports, you're hanging out with all the moms at these sports. And so I've been surrounded by women my whole life. So it kind of made it a little easier to write from a woman's point of view. And again, I was able to lean on my wife and close friends and stuff and ask them about situations.
Thanks to our sponsor to make this podcast happen. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make podcasts. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listeners. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, it only takes about 5 to 10 minutes to set up. It's simple, easy, and the best part, it's free. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today to just create your own podcast.
But definitely the idea to have a female detective as my main protagonist probably stemmed from James Patterson's Women's Murder Club, because I remember I read the very first one that came out with Detective Lindsay Boxer, and I read a few after that. But his books definitely inspired me to write from a woman's perspective. And it's just taken off from there.
Gee, I can't really decide. Should I feel sorry for you that you've been surrounding by...
I feel sorry for myself sometimes. It's a lot of estrogen in my house. I'll tell you, it's the teenage years aren't going to be fun, Jimmy. I might have to escape and rent a bachelor pad somewhere. But it's been a lot of fun. I mean, the girls keep me on my toes. They're still young, and there's always something going on. But thinking there might be a lot of drama in the teen years for me to look forward to. That's for sure.
You'd probably be happy to know that years ago when I was going through those teenager years, glad you probably wouldn't have met me, because holy crud, I was a big issue for my parents.
Well, I'm sure that teenage boys and girls are completely opposite ends of the spectrum, and I was a teenage boy once, so I know what I went through. But it's going to be a whole different animal to be raising teenage girls. That's for sure. It's I'm going to have to buy a shotgun for the boyfriends when they come around, I guess.
Yeah. Well, just take some karate lessons. Why not?
There you go. Maybe you can teach me something.
I wouldn't say I'm pretty good. Maybe pretty good. I wouldn't want to toot my own horn. Out of all the series that you have written so far, what do you think is your favorite one, and why?
Oh gosh, Jimmy, that's a tough question. That's like asking me who my favorite kid is. I mean, I could probably answer you, but my wife wouldn't be very happy if I did. It depends on my mood, I guess, and how well behaved the kids are. But you know, it's funny. A lot of people question me because I'm a white male, and my two series are writing from an African American male, and the other one's a female. So as a white male, I don't have any white male protagonists. But you know what? It's a very tough question, because Charlene Taylor was my first character I ever created, so she's close to my heart. But Calvin Waters was so much fun to create that, you know, I took a lot of me with him, even though I'm not 6'5", 240-pound black man. It's, a lot of my athletic background, my sports background is in him. The way he thinks going through, career-ending injuries like I did. So, I can't really answer that for you, Jimmy. I don't really have a favorite, but it's just really fun to write from both of them. I don't think I have a preference, and it's pretty neat because Calvin seems, my male readers seem to really respond to Calvin, and then my female readers really respond to Charlene. So it's kind of like I have the best of both worlds while I'm writing.
Well, I have to say, in my opinion, I really like Charlene because, like, she reminds me kind of like me. Just she doesn't take no for an answer.
Oh, she's definitely hard-headed, and there's been a lot of women like that in my life, so I was used to that. But it's fun because my characters are so real. I mean, if you know, I don't write them where they're perfect, where, you know, they're invincible, they know everything, they can do everything. I try to write real characters that people can relate to. You know, they have their problems, they have their setbacks, they have they have emotional problems. They go through some of the same things that we go through every day. And that's what's fun to follow these characters, because you really get a feel for them, because you can relate to them, because they're not perfect, right? They're human. They're real human beings that make mistakes and learn from them. And so that's kind of what's fun for a reader.
Definitely.
Too.
What would you say, as a writer, do you think, is it hard for you to ever like sit down and write these books that you write?
The hardest thing for me, Jimmy, is finding the time. I only write part-time. I'm a full-time high school teacher. I tutor on the side part-time. I ref hockey. And I have three kids who are involved in everything. So I coach sports, you know, I'm traveling all the time, driving them from different events. So really the hardest part is finding time. So whenever I'm not in front of the computer typing, that's when I'm kind of doing my thinking and my plotting out, so that when I do have, you know, the 1 or 2 hours late at night when everyone's gone to bed, I can sit down and look at my notes and just write. I don't have to sit there with writer's block and think, oh my God, what am I going to write? So as a part-time writer, it's kind of, there's good things about it and bad things about it. The bad thing, obviously, I don't get much time to write because of other jobs and priorities. But the good thing is I don't worry about writer's block. I don't set deadlines for myself or writing goals for myself. If I get a chance to write, great. If I don't, I don't stress out over it. As I said, I don't have any deadlines from agents or publishers or, you know, you have to have so many words a day or so many words an hour. That's one of the good things about it. But the bad thing is I'd love to be able to write more. I'd love for this to be my full-time job, for me to make enough money where that's my sole income. I don't need another job. But right now, you know, I only have 4 books published, so it's tough to really get some momentum and money coming in until you have, you know, a bunch of more books.
I definitely know how that feels. I would like to have podcasting and my website making money for me and everything as my full-time job. Heck, I can't even work for Uber this summer because of the coronavirus. So
yeah, this this coronavirus has really thrown everything for a loop. It's, you know, and it's all over the world. It's, nobody knows what to expect. Nobody knows what to do. All we can do is follow guidelines given by our government. And, everyone talks about our new normal, and who knows how long it's going to be here with no vaccine yet. So it's certainly strange times for everybody. Yeah, and like you were saying about your podcast, yeah, you know how long it takes and how much work there is to put into it to kind of grow these things, right? You're starting from scratch. I started from scratch. It takes a long time. It's a grind. And, you know, all we can do is hope. A lot of it comes to luck, being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, we just do what we can and hope that things work out.
And I have to say, you know, I thought I was a busy person, but after you tell me that you're a full-time teacher and you do all this other stuff, now you make me look bad.
Oh, don't feel bad at all. It's it's certainly a busy life, and some days you just got to kind of slow down and breathe a bit. But usually once the kids are in bed and, 9 o'clock at night, I might get a few hours to sit down and write. Or the problem is when you're working two or three jobs, you're kind of exhausted by that time. So some days it's just, I want to go to bed early or just chill on the couch with my wife and watch TV or something. But if you really want something, you'll find the time for it. And I truly believe that a lot of nights I want, to write so badly, and I want this to be something that goes on for a long time. I want to impress my readers. I want to keep entertaining them and keep throwing out books for them. So you're going to fight through the tiredness and the exhaustion and all the other stuff going on and find the time to do what you truly are passionate about.
I have to agree with you on that, because I find myself, there's some weeks where I absolutely know what I really want to write about in my next blog post, but then there's some days where I don't even know what I want to do. But then I somehow, after I read a different article written by somebody else, I might want to say, wow, now I really want to write something along these kind of lines of what somebody else wrote, but then put my own spin on it and twist.
Well, yeah, you're fighting through it, and you're finding ways to get through and finding ways to do what you really like to do. And that's great. That's what everyone should find time for, their passion. I know life is so busy right now, and there's always so much going on, but people really need to follow their passion sometimes, even if it's just part time like us.
I also have to say, I every time I look at all of your tweets on Twitter.
There are so many ads these days wherever you go. There are ads in movie theaters, on TV, on radio, and on billboards. So why would you want to listen to ads in a podcast? Subscribe to the Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast to get these exclusive benefits. Listen ad-free. Behind-the-scenes access. Access to our free Facebook community, and so much more. Become a premium member for only $5 per month. To learn more about the Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast, go to crazyfitnessguy.com/healthylivingpodcast or click on the Premium Podcast link in the show notes. Now let's get back to the show.
They make me laugh even when I'm having the most frustrating day whatever I'm doing. It could just be from some email from a company, but I see when you ever post, I just love how all those tweets are just kind of fun. And I like the joke that you did. Was it Friday that you did that joke, or Saturday?
Which one is that?
The one with the, I can't remember. The truck, and then
about my 6-year-old.
I don't know if it's a 6-year-old or was it the one with the maybe it was the 6-year-old one. I don't remember.
How I was wondering if my 6-year-old was traded at birth and I brought home the wrong child.
It was the one who you picked up the guy on the
The hitchhiker. Yeah, the hitchhiker. Well, you know what? And people are always saying to me, thank you for the laugh, or you made me smile. And you know what? I'm a goof on social media, and I don't take social media seriously. Social media should be about having fun. Yeah, I'm on there to sell books, but you know what? I'm just on there to tell jokes and have fun and meet people and make people laugh. And social media, There's too much seriousness going on in social media. There's too much crap, the drama and things that go on. And I don't take social media seriously. I'm there to have fun, and I'm there to make people laugh and smile. And I hope some days I do, maybe some days I don't, but social media should be fun. And, oftentimes there's a lot of negative things that surround social media, but I love Twitter. I mean, I've met so many great people on Twitter from all over the world, and I just love interacting with readers and fans and stuff. And like I said, people should just have fun with social media and not take it so seriously sometimes.
People just going back and forth, pointing fingers at each other. Oh.
Well, that's it. People air dirty laundry on there, and you know they kind of hide behind social media because they know they're not face to face with people, so they'll say whatever they want, or you know, even post things anonymously. And you know, it's just too bad that there's so much negative attention to it, because social media can be really fun and really positive at times.
Here's another question for you. What would your advice be if somebody was starting out writing? What would your advice be for them, and how would for them to continue I think that's the question.
Get a part-time job to pay the bills. No, I'm just kidding. You know, writing, it's like anything. It's a tough business. It's a competitive business. There's a lot of writers out there, a lot of people trying to make money from writing books. But you have to stick with it. You're going to get a lot of people saying no along the way. And no matter what path you decide is right for you, I mean, you could go self-publishing. You could go the traditional route. You can go print on demand. There's so many different ways to go. Whatever's the right way for you, there's going to be people trying to drag you down, giving you negative comments, whether it's Amazon reviews or agents or publishers or editors. You know, you just got to fight through those. You got to have thick skin. You've got to be patient, because it's a very slow moving process from going from writing to editing to publishing to marketing. Grow thick skin, okay? Don't let people drag you down. Don't take no for an answer. You know what? And just try to write a little bit every day if you can. Even if it's 100, 200 words, try to write a little bit every day. Work on your craft. You know, writing is so important. And a big thing I try to tell most writers is you really should work with an editor. I know it can be expensive, but I really advise writers, save up money, because you'll want to work with an editor. Those people are professionals. They know what they're doing. They've been through it before. And it really will grow you as a writer. I know I worked with a very strong editor in New York City when I started, when I wrote Dead Man's Hand. And I saved for a year. I saved thousands of dollars because I knew I wanted to work. And I was lucky enough to work with this guy. And he has learned me. He has taught me so much that I've taken that onto other books. You know, I've only worked the one book with them, but all those lessons he taught me, it's almost like taking a course in a school, working with an editor. So the thousands of dollars you would pay on a course, you know, think about, I'm going to put that into an editor, and you're going to learn the whole time and all along the way. And you can take those lessons you learn from that editor and work on your next books with them. And that's exactly what I did.
Just curiosity, how much does an editor cost?
They're all different, and it depends what kind of editing you want done. You know, there's line editing. You could edit for content. You could just do, like a spell check type thing, like a proofreader. There's all sorts of different. It depends how in-depth you want to go. Obviously, content editing would be the most costly, because they're looking at your content and talking about, you know, does this character work, or would this character do this here, or does this plot make sense? Those types of things. But you can get any, I mean, all editors go for different prices. So I advise, you know, I can send writers to websites to look and hunt for deals that work for them. But yeah, you definitely need to get a quote. Maybe send them one chapter and see what kind of job they do to know if that's what you're looking for. So there's just so many editors that, and there's so many different prices. I can't tell you exactly how much you would spend. And then again, it depends how much editing your manuscript needs, right? Some need a lot, some need very little. So Jimmy, I can't give you an exact price. It's all different.
Well, maybe we could both agree on maybe they're cheaper than lawyers.
Well, knock on wood, I've been fortunate. I've never had to use a lawyer yet. So I would imagine they're definitely cheaper than lawyers. Well,
I've used many. I used a lawyer before, and that's not cheap at all.
Well, yeah, I've known people who've gone through divorces, and it's hundreds of dollars just to send an email, they told me. So it's no, an editor would definitely be less expensive. Gee,
I should have become a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be the one making the big bucks.
Yeah, that'd be nice for sure.
Before we wrap up, I was just curious, where can people find you?
Well, my website is www.authorlukemurphy.com, all one word. And all of my social media, you look up Author Luke Murphy on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you'll find me there. My books are available on Amazon in ebook form, paperback, and audiobook. So definitely, I encourage people to look me up, and I'm always available to if someone wants to touch base with me, or you can contact me through my website on my contact form, or just send me a tweet or a message on social media. I'm always happy to hear from people with questions or comments.
He also likes to have people joke around with too.
Oh, absolutely. I love the joke around.
By the way, Luke, like 3 years ago when I first joined Twitter, what's kind of funny, I thought when you first followed me, I didn't know if that was legit or whatnot. I mean, like, you know how, like, there's all those people like to post like fake accounts out there. I was like,
yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's another thing with social media. There's so many scam artists and, you know, hackers and all sorts of spammers, and you really have to be careful with who you follow and who follows you. And I know my oldest daughter now is getting into the whole Instagram. She just turned 12 and she wants her own Instagram page and stuff. And, you know, I made sure she kept it just personal to private, private. And, you know, she only accepts people she knows and stuff. And, you know, there's so many bad people out there that you really have to be careful and keep yourself safe and protected.
Yeah. Obviously I didn't mean any offense by any of that.
Like,
wow, Martha's following me. It's like, that is weird. I've been happy to have you as a follower, and I really do enjoy your books a lot.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure you're not the first person to feel that, because I really try to seek out people who have common interests with me, whether it's through reading or sports or school. I'm always trying to find people or music. I'm always trying to find people with interests. And, you know, I follow them, and sometimes they'll follow me back. Sometimes they'll ignore me. But I definitely try to seek out people with common interests in myself that I could, you know, start a conversation with, or, you know, share ideas with and stuff.
Well, I really enjoyed this podcast episode, and I hope I can have you back on in the future if you'd be interested.
Absolutely. I'd be honored. And I thank you very much for asking me, Jimmy. It's been a lot of fun talking with you.
I hope you enjoy your rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. And
we are audiostack.ai,
combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery,
be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details,
and you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.